and welcome back to Well Played, presented by The Skim. I'm Caroline Hindershop.
And I'm Blake Morgan. Welcome back, everyone. We're in the studio today.
Yes, we are.
You missed us last week. We were in that scary box being held up.
It did not look great.
No, but we are back in the studio with another episode of Well Played, with all the sports stories and topics you should be talking about with your friends. So be sure to tune in next week, actually, because we'll be doing an end-of-year roundup featuring some awards for some of the best sports moments of the past year on and off the field.
Some lucky winners.
We're going to have to think. We already have our eye on them.
Yeah, we do. We've been bookmarking some different people, different teams, you know.
Absolutely.
Also, make sure to check out our full-length video of this and every episode on YouTube. Just search for Well Played. Buy This Game on YouTube, or if you prefer to listen, make sure you hit the follow button on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Yes, but before that, please, Hendy, tell us where to follow you on social media.
At CG Hendy. I'm the easy one. Where do they follow you?
I'm at BL3A4KSE.
Yes, she is.
It's blah-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la actually. But okay. Blake for
good to know. You know what? I think I might clip that one audio piece and just have it as a ringtone whenever you text me.
Oh my God.
Since you texted me a picture of a chicken this morning at 6:36 in the morning.
It was a raw chicken.
Yeah.
I have a video. Actually, I was editing on my way into the studio this morning. Literally 45 minutes straight, a video of me spatchcocking a chicken for the first time. I know a couple months back I said I was spatchcocking a chicken for the first time. I didn't. I roasted it whole.
Because
I thought it would be too hard to spatchcock a chicken. But after my experience this morning, it only took me like 15 minutes total.
You did that this morning?
I did at 6:13 in the morning.
You're
if
sick
you
in
follow
the head.
Me on Instagram, you will.
You're sick in the head.
I know. You will see the video later.
Okay.
It was fun though. I had a good time. And I'll
teach
post a picture
own.
Of that bird later when it's
that bird.
Nice and cooked. Anyway, but speaking of social, I know that you got a really nice DM earlier this week.
Oh, I want to get her name right. Hang on. Yeah. Gonna pull it up because what a sweet little
it
angel
was so sweet.
Tracy, oh my God, she was so sweet. She sent her first DM,
her literal first
her
DM.
Her first DM was to me. I'm like so beyond honored. I wanted to cry when I got it. She was really sweet. She was just like complimenting the podcast, said she loved to listen, and then told me that she was.
Dude, I wish
her first
I
DM.
Could remember the my first DM.
I
actually don't want to remember that.
I was
like 12,
say,
probably.
Are you sure about
no,
that?
I take that back. I take it back.
I don't think I had Instagram until high school.
You know, good for you. I had this problem where I was chronic. I have been chronically online since a young age. You know what
yeah,
I mean? I was
yeah.
literally like 11 years old.
Like Tumblr. I was straight up not allowed to have Facebook until high school.
Active and, parenting, ladies and gentlemen. And you see the difference between Caroline and I. I'm out here dropping F bombs
on
the podcast constantly.
I'm not like okay. I'm not like I'm
not
like better for it.
For my
yeah,
mental,
yeah. It didn't mean I'm normal.
Right,
by
right,
means.
Right. Different styles of parenting. That's
yeah,
all.
Exactly. Totally. For sure. All right, let's get into it. We've prepared a roundup of our favorite stories dominating your feeds this week. It's time for Playing the Field. We begin Playing the Field with a nod to our college football loving king, the one and only Timothée Chalamet, who shocked the viewing world this past Saturday as a panelist on ESPN's College Game Day with his astute, insightful, and very surprisingly detailed predictions.
I know, I loved this. He was doing these predictions all while wearing this very iconic
mm-hmm.
bright pink,
mm-hmm.
I would say magenta
yeah.
puffer coat.
Wait, isn't magenta more purple?
Perhaps, yes.
Sorry.
Perhaps I take it back. It was a hot pink.
Yeah, highlighter pink.
Puffer. Mm-hmm. It wasn't highlighter pink.
Okay.
I think we're both, both of our colors.
No, it was 100% highlighter pink.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, we'll fight about this later. I think it was.
It was bright pink. That's all that matters. He was wearing this bright pink puffer coat. And
some may say bright is similar to highlighter.
Oh
but
my God. It's too early for this right now. Wait, I didn't get to mention the other part of his fit, which was his questionable mustache, which I believe he deserves jail time for. But
I don't think I like really honed in on his
you didn't
mustache.
Clock the mustache, are you kidding?
I don't think so.
It's like a pencil. Yeah,
not great.
That's why I was so shocked. I think if it was a bit bushier, I wouldn't have cared as much.
Yeah, you just needed him to grow a little bit more facial
mm-hmm,
hair for
mm-hmm.
your liking.
I'm also just like it has nothing, because I think the reason why he was on college game day to begin with is because he has this Bob Dylan movie coming out.
Okay.
But the pencil sash has nothing to do with the Bob Dylan, so I'm like, what? You know,
why are you doing it?
Why sport the mustache? I don't know. Maybe
okay.
try new things. I respect. Anyway, let's hear a clip of what he had to say on
yeah.
the show.
These teams are 2-2 in the last four matchups. The Redhawks defense looks good, but I'm looking at fourth-year Bobcats quarterback Parker Navarro.
Yeah.
65% completion rate. If he can get going, he'll tilt this in favor of the Bobcats. I'm going underdog Bobcats here.
Yes.
Underdog Bobcats.
I love that.
I'm going to go with you guys with Miami of Ohio. The main reason.
Okay, I'm going Louisiana here. Tyrone Lewis Jr., Cody Jackson, Tyree Skipper. They're going to step that defense up. Billy Napier's legend remains. The defense is strong.
Okay, meanwhile, the hosts of College Game Day looked on in wonder, including panelists Pat McAfee and former Alabama head coach Nick Saban. Before we get into the accuracy of his picks, can we talk about his delivery? Like, I think everyone on, at least on Twitter, when he was announced as the guest picker and, like, kind of was going to be making all of these hot takes, per se, I think everyone was like, what the hell is this guy doing on there? Like, he's an actor. There's no kind of background there. Let me say this. Timothée Chalamet, I would like to apologize because at first I was one of those people. I was like, huh, interesting pick for College Game Day. I was unfamiliar with your game, sir. Right. Like, oh my God.
She's a Timothée Chalamet apologist.
I am. Like, he crushed the way that he was talking about each team. He was going into all the detail. I get it. He's an actor. Okay. Like, I guess that's his job.
I think he memorized something.
I was going to say, I don't know. He might have, but like the way that his knowledge kind of seemed to be there already, I don't know. I think he's like a college football savant.
Okay. I do think that he memorized a little script beforehand.
Fine.
Because you know what? I mean, maybe you tell me. So they being the hosts, did look at him as if he was like...
in disbelief.
Yes, but as if it was like a baby learning to speak like Albert Einstein, let's say.
Yeah.
They were just like, oh, yeah. Oh my God. You know what I mean? So did they
like play into it? I saw the highlights. You think?
No. Did they ask him like a lot of follow-up questions? Because I really just saw a highlight reel where he was just bat, bat. You know what I mean? Like just going on and on and on, droning.
Well, I think usually it's like, you are making your pick for the team of like who's going to win the matchup, and then you like give your reasoning, and then the next person goes, you know. So
really?
It's not like a
there's
ton
no
of
debate.
Follow-up. Yeah, no.
Well, convenient format for Timothée Chalamet. Regardless, though, even if it was scripted, I don't care because you know I actually went through a Timothée Chalamet phase myself around Lady Bird. Did you see that movie?
No.
Oh, great coming of age film. If you have problems with your mother, you got to watch it.
Oh, maybe I did see that.
So good. He's in it. He plays a D-bag. Absolute D-bag. And then I saw
Sounds
him in
familiar.
Like Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, great one.
Also a great movie.
Yeah.
So I was really going through a Timothée Chalamet's phase. And then I got the ick around Lady Bird, I think.
Okay.
Sorry, not Lady Bird. Around Little Women.
Oh.
I don't know why. Because then I started.
I still haven't seen that one.
I did really like Little Women, but I just felt like he started playing the same sort of character in every movie. Like I couldn't. It's kind of like Zendaya. I have difficulty not seeing her as Zendaya. You're pointing your finger.
Don't you dare.
I'm not coming for Zendaya. I love her. Okay. I love her so much. I just, with Timothy, I couldn't see past
it. I was about to lunge across the set.
I know.
It
got charged real quick.
Yeah. Don't you come for Zendaya.
So all this to say, this did make Timothée Chalamet and my relationship a lot stronger.
Yeah. Okay. I'm happy for you both.
Yeah. I mean, he was just so confident. There's something hot about a man who, like you said, like would be an unfamiliar or unassuming
just
pick.
Get you a man who can do it all. He's wearing his highlighter pink jacket. He's making the college football picks mostly correct. He's an actor. Is he still dating Kylie?
I believe so.
He's dating Kylie Jenner. Like, he get you a man who is well-rounded, can do it all.
I think also the hosts would be doing themselves favors if they, too, wore, like, pink anorak jackets. Or if they just brought Timothy back on, like,
yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
I will say, Pat McAfee does have good style. He is like, he likes to, I would say,
he was behind a desk that
he's
day.
Not the traditional one. Like, everyone's very traditional suit and tie kind of on College Game Day, and he likes to be a little untraditional, which I appreciate from him.
Yeah. How did he do with his picks?
He actually, okay, so he ended up getting 4 of his 7 picks correct, but he was the only person on the panel to accurately predict the upset victory in the MAC championship game, which ended up being a blowout win for the underdog Ohio team. Does this mean that he could be a football broadcaster as like his next profession? Maybe.
Well, that's why I want to see him come on again, because I want to see if it was really a fluke or if he
right or
really
if like he
shit.
Could go for next guesses. Yeah, I don't know. I was really here for it. I thought.
I want it again already. I'm getting greedy.
I honestly think that everyone that originally said, what the hell is he doing on here, was eating their words by the time they were like,
no, but I would say they respectfully retracted. They're yes, like, Timmy, they, everyone I didn't know you like, had that dog in you.
I am so sorry. Yeah. Correct. I agree. Yeah. Mm. I do have to give us one shout out that isn't Timothy Chalamet for College Game Day. I am obsessed with Kirk Herbstreit's dog. I think I've talked about this before, but maybe not. Ben was his dog that passed away. It was a golden retriever. I think he only has golden retrievers. You know, soft spot in my heart. But like, so Peter is now coming on the road with him.
Peter being the dog.
Peter being the dog.
The new golden retriever.
Yes. He was like Ben's younger brother, you know, so he is now taking Ben's spot on the road. But Peter is like less seasoned of a veteran than Ben was. Right. So he's a little bit unruly at times. You know, he's like running across the stage during the actual show. But he was in between Matthew McConaughey's legs, like rolling around on the field on his back. And Kirk was just like chilling. Matthew McConaughey, unfazed.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. My dog is like, this is so embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. It's Matthew McConaughey.
He's such a chiller.
Peter was like, we're boys. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah.
I got to say, there's probably many women in our audience who wish they were little Peter in that situation.
I knew you were going to go there.
Did you listen to his audiobook?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Greenlight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good one. Yeah. Narrated by him.
I know.
If you haven't read his book yet, just listen to the audiobook.
Yeah, the audiobook is great.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of college football, we continue playing the field with a breakdown of the first ever 12-team college football playoff. Caroline, like much of the audience, I'm kind of a newbie when it comes to the intricacies of college football postseason, so I have some questions to ask for you.
Is that okay? Hit me.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
Okay, another handful. You know what I mean? I think you got this down pat. Okay. So I know there used to only be bowl games.
Yes.
Then the NCAA moved it to a 4-team playoff. Mm-hmm. How does it work this year? And also, like, why are so many change-ups?
I know. So this year they're doing something new. They're doing, like, the first ever 12-team playoff. And it used to be – the championship used to be voted on, then a playoff, now 12 teams. Okay, so the – 5 automatics that get in are the teams that win their conference mm-hmm. championship. And then the next 7 are the highest ranked teams.
Oh.
So that makes 12.
Yeah.
Then once those like are ordered 1 through 12, the top 4 get a bye in the first round.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And a bye being?
A bye means you essentially get to advance to the next round without having to play a game.
I see.
You just get automatically... You get to skip a game, so you get like an extra week of rest.
Okay. And I think this might be a little too in the weeds, but I had to know because I was doing some light researching last night.
I'm so proud of you.
And I kept seeing the word bid.
Mm.
And I'm like, why would we have to bid for a spot? Like, it's not eBay auction season. You know what I mean?
You know, it's a good question. So there's a selection committee, right? It's made up of like athletic directors, some former All-Americans. Like, it's a collection of people mm-hmm. that essentially select who will be making the cut in the 1 through 12 spots. So if you're not one of those teams that wins your conference championship,
right.
then there's like a little bit of a selection process that goes into who gets decided.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's like gets decided on your strength of schedule, how many losses you mm-hmm, have, mm-hmm. who you lost to. All of these things factor into like their decision of who makes it and who doesn't. The controversial thing this year is that Alabama and Miami both did not make it. And that was like big, big news.
I'm assuming they're like super delicious teams out there.
Super delicious.
Okay,
that is exactly how everyone phrased it, actually. Alabama had 3 losses, and I think Miami also had 3 losses. But SMU got in, and I think everyone was, like, really mm-hmm, upset about mm-hmm. that. But the reason why is, like, so Clemson was ranked 18th going into this, like, ACC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they beat SMU, and so automatically they get into the college football playoffs. Probably wouldn't have gotten in because they were ranked 18th, right? So that was like a whole upset. Everyone was saying that Dabo Sweeney was playing chess, not checkers, because with Clemson winning, he essentially got Alabama not to get in.
I see.
And so, you know, rivalry there, whatever. But big news that Alabama's not in. Everyone is very upset about that. Alabama obviously has a very big fan base. Yeah.
Okay. I know that I like advanced the conversation a bit, maybe too far. I have to actually take some steps back for myself.
That's fine. That's fine.
So I know there used to, like I said, there only used to be bowl games. What even is a bowl game?
Yeah.
And are there still bowl games?
Okay.
Great I was reading question. About like a Fiesta Bowl. I literally read Fiesta, Fiesta Bowl. Fiesta and I was bowl. Like, is this fucking Tostitos? Like
yeah, it is. It is. It is. Yeah. I know. I know. Shocking. I'm blowing confused. Your mind right now. Okay. So a bowl game, there used to only be bowl games, right? And then you would just win the bowl game. And so you would be like the Fiesta Bowl champions or like a more iconic bowl game that a lot of people probably name recognition, the Rose Bowl,
right?
Right? Like that's a very iconic game. And like almost people think it's like a privilege to be like the Rose Bowl champions.
How would you get to a bowl game?
They essentially just select you. Like they would invite you. They'd be like, hey,
they're like, hey girl, we really like your vibe.
You want, essentially.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like,
I know, right?
In the sport, in the nature
of sport.
So
that's why it's evolving, right?
And I see.
So they're continuing to change it because they want it to, A, they used to just like pick the four teams and then be like, okay, you two play each other, you two play each other, and then these two will play for the Natty. Now they're like, okay, we need to actually make it more of like a production and
right.
give teams a chance. And so that's why it's actually more interesting because now the rivalry weekend, that matters more. The championship weekend, that matters more. So it like all
it's just
kind of amplified.
Right.
It,
okay.
Right? Yeah.
I like this. I like
yeah,
the direction
it's good
we're
for college.
It.
I think it's good for college football.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I also have to correct myself. Producer Sean said Miami had only two losses. So Miami fan base don't come for me. But it just shows you like how close both teams
right.
were. Like you only lose two games and you still don't make the playoffs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Juicy I feel like stuff. My chest is getting tight.
Yeah.
The stakes are so much higher.
I know. I'm very interested to see who comes out like as winners and losers from the first round because another different thing this year, and then we can stop talking about it. Sorry, I'm like nerding out. They have home field advantage this year. Usually they would play it like a neutral site, but now like SMU has to go to Happy Valley in Penn State and like has to play in that kind of environment, like that's going to be hard for SMU. Mm-hmm. So I just think that that adds another kind of wrench into it in a good way.
Yeah. So who are the favorites and who kind of snuck in there?
Undefeated Oregon and the SEC champion Georgia were the top two seeds. SMU was the one that snuck in. And so people were
right.
kind of feeling controversial about it.
Up in
it.
Arms.
And, yeah,
I might
oh,
even
yeah.
say.
Up in arms for sure.
But when are they actually going to start playing?
The first couple games, I believe, are like December 20th, 21st. Then you wait a little bit more. Then they play on like New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And then like the actual championship will happen later in January. So like there's time.
Okay. So I could show up. I could be on college game day like Timothée Chalamet.
You have time to prep for your college game day.
I can still
debut.
Adopt a team.
Yes, you can.
It's kind of because I got what?
Who's your team?
Michigan.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Oh my God.
Okay. That's all we need to know about that. All right, moving on. I am sorry to do this to you, Blake, but we do need to take some time to talk about this guy named TJ Moe. So he brought some sports takes to a new low this weekend with a tweet about a trio of female ESPN college football commentators. So TJ Moe is apparently a former college wide receiver. He did, I think, have a hot appearance for like a hot sec in the NFL and like got cut before Ooh. Rosters were even really finalized. What he did was he took a screenshot of the ESPN broadcast, posted it to Twitter with the caption, "Who actually wants to watch three women stand around and talk about football? I do not." Cool. Then he pinned the tweet and quote tweeted it and said, "This tweet upset some folks, so let me clarify. No one wants to listen to three women talk football. Men are better at it. It's like asking cats to bark. I issue no apology and no retracts. Most people agree with me. They're just afraid to say it. Carry on with your outrage." Okay.
Before we continue, do we know who the three ESPN female reporters are so that we can give them some space here?
Of course we do.
Let's hear
Holly Rowe, incredible at her job. Iconic. She's been around forever. Jess Sims, who actually is a Peloton instructor and a college game day host. And yeah, and so now she can add that to her portfolio. And frickin' Laura Rutledge, who literally does it all. Laura Rutledge does Monday Night Football sideline reporting for the NFL. Then she does a NFL show all week. Then she hosts SEC Nation every Saturday, I believe it is. And then she does college football on the weekends. The woman knows her stuff.
She's booked and busy.
Okay, so she's well acclaimed.
So it wasn't just like, not that he should be knocking on any women, but it's like these are women who are established and who know what the fuck they're talking about.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they work at ESPN for a reason, and he does not for a reason. I know it's rage bait.
And, right, I know.
And so I don't want to like give him, I don't want to waste my breath on that, right? Like, I don't want to play into that. But he is someone who isn't a college football reporter. He's trying to act like he is. He probably feels threatened and feels like he earned the right to talk about college football just because he played it.
Right.
But I do think that the best response on Twitter was Torrey Smith, who played wide receiver for 8 years in the NFL. He said, "There are plenty of women that would dog walk you talking ball." He said something else and then said, "Plenty of analysts and coaches are amazing at it and never played." So, I think that is the most important point that I want to drive home. It's like, just because you played a sport and just because someone didn't play a sport doesn't mean that they either know the most about it or shouldn't get to talk about it, whatever.
Absolutely.
I rode in college, right? Very niche. I know. Once again. Just because I rode doesn't mean that I think I know everything about rowing, nor does it think that, like, I don't think that there's never a day that you could talk about rowing. Like, I think you could study it, you could learn it, you could do it, you know? So
yeah,
it's just like, just because you played it doesn't give you this like God-given right to think that you have all of this authority
matter. It was just such loser behavior on the internet. And then I felt, I'm pouring one out for the women with internalized misogyny on the internet, because there were some women who were like agreeing with him. I'm like, just because you don't maybe feel like you want to hear that doesn't mean that women should not be able to.
Also, I don't know if literally anyone has heard of this thing called a remote. You can actually change the channel with it. It's mind-blowing. I know. But it's 2024. Grow up and change the channel.
I love how he was just like, I don't want to watch. He just like put out his opinion on the internet and thought that we were like, everybody just wanted to hear it. Like, sometimes you just don't have to hit send on the tweet. You could just do things and not tell the entire world what you're doing.
Yeah. Also, he like works, he like a guest appears on like a podcast, I think, with like Jason Whitlock, who is not a good human being. And other than that, I do think he is just like mostly in real estate. So our guy just wishes he was a college football reporter.
Oh my goodness.
That's it. That's all I'm giving him.
All right. Yeah. Let's cut it there.
Let's turn our attention to a more positive story in women's sports. The WNBA season opener that's already breaking records despite being months away.
Yeah, that's because people are literally already lining up to get their tickets to see second-year star Caitlin Clark tip off against rival Angel Reese in Indianapolis on May 17th.
May 17th. It's December.
It's like seven months away. Seven months.
Yeah.
Not even. There's so much demand to see this game in person that ticket prices have actually skyrocketed high enough that they're actually higher than any NBA season opener this year, except for one, which was the home opener for the reigning champion Celtics. So insane.
Iconic.
I love this.
Shortly after tickets went on sale, the lowest available price for a resale ticket shot up to $271. That's more than the get-in price for tickets to LeBron and Bronny James this season.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, premium tickets, tickets for the game are going for more than $2,500. Yep. Let that sink in. That's pretty sick. So what does this say about the popularity of women's sports? This was it.
I just think, you know you've really made it when a normal person just cannot get a fucking ticket to a game anymore.
Yes.
Like, I'm happy for my girls, but I'm like, damn, I'm so out of this game right now.
No, like, actually, because like it's the same thing as like the Taylor Swift tickets, you know? Like, you know that she's a mega star because people were selling them for like freaking 10 grand.
Which seems so obvious, but like, we forget.
We do forget.
They had to walk before they ran, and now the girls are in full sprint.
The girls are sprinting.
They are sprinting. It's like going from McDonald's to literally like Michelin.
Don't worry, they're not out of breath.
They're actually going to be running for a while.
They're running their damn race. And they will succeed.
Yes.
But yeah, insane. I'm pumped about it. Wish I could afford to go.
I know.
But like, maybe
I'm gonna be like on Game Time. This is not sponsored by Game Time, but sometimes on Game Time, this app, you know about it?
Yeah.
You could just like get some cheap tickets real quick day of. I'm gonna be hurt.
You're going to be her?
Okay. Refreshing the page.
I was going to say, like, maybe we're just going to be, like, really cool, like, influencers maybe, who like, get invited to a
the
game.
The Fever will want to host of a show called Well Played by Caroline Hendershot and Blake Morgan to come sit on the sidelines. Guys, we're going to manifest it here.
Yeah.
You're going to see us on the sidelines May 17th. Fever Sky game. You're not gonna want to miss it.
Yeah, we're gonna be those really crazy ass fans on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can't wait to talk about crazy guests on the sidelines. It's coming up in a little bit. We have this funny story, guys. I can't wait. Stay tuned.
In case you missed it, quickly, Juan Soto, formerly of the New York Yankees, just signed a record 15-year, $765 million contract with the New York Mets. So, if you haven't started playing baseball, maybe everyone should just start. but to put that in perspective, the combined total salary earnings for LeBron James and Tom Brady come to $761 million. Still not more.
Right. But the real comparison that's going to blow your mind. Okay. Yeah. So the total combined salary for all WNBA players in the 2023 season was just $16,387,038. That means that Soto is making on average more than three times per year than the entire WNBA league. That's fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Make it make sense.
Okay, here's the thing again. Mr. Soto, I'm not even asking for a full million. Could I just have like a couple bucks? Like throw a couple my way. I'll be your biggest fan. It's just like, damn it, I should have played
a million.
Baseball.
I mean, I said a million. I meant to say a thousand. Like, I would take even a thousand.
I'll take a couple hundred.
I could use that, man.
Throw a girl a bone.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's continue this episode of Well Played as we do every week this time of year with our roundup of all the NFL action you need to be talking about. It's time for Tuesday Morning Quarterback.
So with the Eras Tour coming to a close this week.
R.I.P.
You didn't get to go, right?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I went to Gillette. Was it night two? When it rained.
You never shared this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because it happened literally years ago because right. She's been on tour for
she's
years.
She's been on this tour for eras.
I actually said this to Scott yesterday. I was like, oh my God, can you believe it's the last show of the Eras Tour? He goes, I thought that ended years ago. I said, I know. I think a lot of people did.
Wait, did you bring Scott with you?
No. Okay. No.
He could not queen out for
three
hours.
It was for the girls.
Okay.
It was me, my cousin, and my sister, who was, I believe she was 37, maybe 38 weeks pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we were like, Erica, if at any point you feel something off, just let us know. Someone went into labor that night at Gillette. Yeah, it was crazy.
I was going to say, she couldn't have been the only one.
Yeah. It was chef's kiss.
Right. But anyway, you may have been fooled, thanks to the end of the Eras Tour, into thinking that the black magic run of the improbable victories for Travis Kelce and the Chiefs would finally end, but you're wrong.
Wrong.
You're dead wrong. The 12-1 Chiefs pulled off yet another impossible win Sunday with a crazy finish.
Insane.
I love this.
I know last week we talked about rumors that Taylor has been in her Hermione era, and she's just been, you know, Leviosa-ing it up in the stands. But kicker Matthew Wright was able to bounce the ball off the left upright and through the goalpost without any help.
I like what it's being referred to. Yes.
Okay, this is like a legit term that people
I know,
refer to it
but
as.
It makes so much sense because I guess it's kind of like onomatopoeia.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So the kick is now being called the doink for the division as the Chiefs secured their 9th straight division championship and a playoff berth.
Mm-hmm.
So Caroline, it feels like we talk about this every week, but do you think I feel like you literally just talked about this legit last week, how, you know, they're just winning by like a smidge every single time. So you think this is like showcasing weaknesses and vulnerability or just that last minute determination for the Chiefs?
Both, actually. Mm. I think that.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
I know, threw you a curveball. Yeah. Just when you think you know her. I think because they are keeping the games like so close and they're not so dominant, I think that obviously they're vulnerable in some spots. But I think when it comes down to it, the Chiefs know how to win. So like, obviously, like their O-line maybe doesn't look as good. Patrick Mahomes doesn't look as good. Travis Kelce maybe doesn't look as good. But like, if you give them the ball with a minute 30 left on the clock or like less, they will figure out a way to drive down the field and score points and win the game. Like that is what they're good at. So whether it's like the coaching or whether it's just like that kind of 2 minute drill aspect that they're so good at, that is what like they're made for. So I think that is also what separates like for lack of a better saying, like the men from the boys kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like that's what makes them so elite.
Yeah. And that's all it takes is that one last shot.
It's freaking crazy how they keep winning. I watched that game live and I was just like, oh my God, when it hit the upright. And then I was like, it went in.
I mean, it really did look like magic.
No, it actually did.
It was kind of spooky.
Maybe she was doing some black magic from afar.
You know, last week I was like, you know, I know this is our bit and like, haha, Taylor being witch. But then I was like, shit, I might actually believe this.
No, there is some weird black magic mm-hmm. that the Chiefs have going on. Something I don't know if Taylor's responsible. I don't know who is, but it's real.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Okay, moving on from winning teams, we're going to turn our attention to the 2-11 New York Giants. They lost their 8th straight against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. The Giants had a chance to tie the game but had their last second field goal blocked.
The gut-wrenching loss. Oh my God, it leaves the Giants sitting in last place. Never a good feeling. But the defeat wasn't for lack of trying, apparently, mm-hmm. because according to the claims of OnlyFans model Ava Louise, one member of the team offered her free tickets to the game if she was willing to flash the opposing team in order to distract them.
Correct. You heard that right. Louise did, in fact, show up to the game, and she was filmed flashing the Saints, although it seemed like the people around her literally didn't even notice. There's no one staring at her. But Louise is the same person who helped get the New York to Dublin portal shut down, actually, earlier this year when she flashed some unsuspecting Dubliners. So... Blake, according to my sources, and my sources, I'm looking at my sources right now, you already knew who this person was before we saw the story.
I did. When I heard you talk about Ava Louise, I was like, oh my God, I know her. Well, not personally, of course. It feels like I do, though, because she went to my college, she went to Rutgers.
Okay.
My ex-boyfriend of 5 years confided in me that he matched with Ava Louise on Tinder before we started dating.
Okay.
And then they, like, it was just one of those situations where they never went out or anything, but he, like, became Snapchat friends with her.
Okay.
And so she'd always post these crazy Snapchat stories of her shenanigans. Mm-hmm. But she became popular in college because she went on Dr. Phil.
Okay.
Because her friends were, like, Ava's social media obsessed. She's so conceited and she's a clout chaser. And she's like, no, I'm not. And you could tell she's all of them are acting in it.
Because
that's just Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
But that's where it all started. And then also, I think a couple years after that, while we were still in college, like she was probably like in Miami or something, going on spring break. And she did lick the toilet seat of an airplane on an airplane.
No.
Yeah.
Jail
time. I think she has, much like me.
Oh, that makes me want to vomit. Oh my God, I'm ill.
And I'm like, what would it take for me to do that? I was like,
you know what it would take? Juan Soto's contract.
No, you're right.
That's what it would take.
For $760 million, yeah, I'll do it.
Then I'll do it.
Twist my arm.
Yeah. Then I'll like.
Right. I know. Even saying it out loud makes me feel like a little freak. But she, like me, has a penchant, I think, for getting a little attention. So I'm not surprised that this happened. But do you think that it actually – do you think that somebody from the team actually DM'd her? Or do you think this was like a marketing scheme for her OF profile?
I'm torn because now that you've given me a little bit of the background, like originally I was like, okay, we're pulling out all the stops.
I wouldn't put it past a man, let me tell you.
No, but like – and
good for her for getting her bag.
And hey, it also almost worked. Like the Giants did almost – they came back.
Mm-hmm.
So – at first, I was like, okay, I believe this. Crazier things have happened. But now I'm a little on the fence of if it's, like, true or not from if it's actually from a player.
Wait, I did see in the screenshot, because she posted a screenshot of, like, the messages that she apparently got. I'm putting air quotes in case it's not true. But it did say, like, you know, the circle contact. It said TD. So people were like, Tommy DeVito, is that you?
That's funny.
Right?
I didn't see that. That's funny. I like that theory.
I don't know.
I just think very interesting strategy that the that the person was using, because a football game is, and one person flashing is going to distract. Like, no, I don't.
She's one in a million.
There's so much going on at a football game. It's loud as all hell in there. Like, there's no shot that I would ever notice.
I know, and you're like on the sidelines.
Yeah.
So I would be closest to the action, probably.
I don't think I'm looking up into the stands that often either. So.
I do think this would work well in basketball.
I actually think it would work better in tennis.
Huh.
You know why? Because it's like so quiet in there.
True.
And if you're behind the baseline and you're just like whoop, flash,
and everyone would be like, oh
yeah, exactly.
And also, I think you could get like turning,
exactly.
Like, you stay there long enough, they're gonna
see
you.
And there's a lot of like stand interaction, I think. But I don't know.
That's true. I thought I wrongly assumed, perhaps not wrongly, but I was just like thinking about Anne Hathaway and her run-in with OG.
Okay, yeah, of course. Like, side action. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. No, that's action. That's a good guess as well. Mm-hmm. This is not us encouraging it to continue to happen. But insane.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, next we're going to talk about some drama happening in the NFL.
Right, you sent
it to
me at like 6:30 this morning. I need all the context.
Yeah, I'm always here for the drama. Okay, so the Eagles played the Panthers on Sunday. Notoriously, the Panthers have like one of the worst records in the league. They're 3-10, not great. However, they have been playing very well as of late. Okay. I will say that. Bryce Young, I think he has turned to the corner. I think we talked about that with Mina Kimes. But anyways, so Eagles opposite. They're like 11-2. They're playing very well. But they only won 22-16. And like a Panthers player dropped what would have been like a game-winning touchdown. Like they were very close to losing. So after the game, their star wide receiver, A.J. Brown, was asked what was wrong with the offense, like in your mind. He was very unhappy. He was only giving one-word answers to the press, and he was like passing. Obviously, that points to their quarterback, Jalen Hurts. You could sense that there was a little tension. Then Brandon Graham went on. He's a defensive player for the Eagles. He went on some radio show. I think he has like a weekly spot or something. He went on and was essentially talking about that comment and was saying, you know, I know 1-11. So Jalen Hurts and
those are their numbers.
AJ Brown, those are their numbers. Like, used to be friends in the past, but we can't let like the personal get in the way of business. And he doesn't have the best responses to things sometimes, but blah, 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 blah. Essentially, like kind of airing their dirty laundry.
I know it's not good for business.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Yeah, no.
Right?
Yeah. I don't think he meant to do it in like a, oh, I'm going to kind of expose this sort of way.
Feelings were high.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I think too, like A.J. Brown in the post-game presser, it was very telling. Like, you almost needed to comment on that because it was like passing and he was very clearly unhappy. I think he had like 47 yards on the day, not a lot. He has complained about not getting the ball a lot before, and then Jalen Hurts starts throwing him the ball and he starts playing out of his mind. So like it's worked in the past kind of thing. But yeah, there's some tension there. Uh-huh. And that is definitely something to monitor. All I'm saying is that if your locker room ain't rock solid, there's gonna be a game where shit hits the fan and it's not good. Like it almost did against the Panthers. Yeah.
Next up on Tuesday Morning Quarterback, a headline about the greatest pro football coach of all time, who may or may not be on his way to coaching a college team. I'm so curious to hear your thoughts about this.
According to reports, former Patriots coach Bill Belichick is in talks with the University of North Carolina to become their next head coach after legendary coach Mack Brown was let go by the school. Some are saying Belichick is just using the vacancy for leverage to entice NFL teams to give him a call.
Oh my God. This is like so me coded in sixth grade. It reminds me of like breaking up with me and my boyfriend broke up in sixth grade. And then I tried to date his best friend.
Oh my, shady.
And of course it was messy. And then my ex-boyfriend of sixth grade turned out to be gay. So
it was
for nothing. Anyway,
it's all for the plot.
Right. I was just trying to get their attention.
Of course.
His attention.
Always.
Yeah. Anyway, one person who's not sold on Belichick taking the college route seriously is none other than his former partner in crime, Tom Brady. So during the NFL on Fox pregame broadcast on Sunday, Brady was asked whether he could see Belichick coaching college or not, and he gave this response.
Belichick is actually interviewing for college jobs? Can you imagine him coaching college?
No.
Absolutely not. Recruiting an 18-year-old?
Listen, you really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use them as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team. We're direct.
Can you imagine Bill Belichick playing and recruiting college players?
Okay, let me just say this, and I'm going to be very concise, and I'll say it quickly. Harbaugh was literally Jim Harbaugh, who used to coach the greatest university in the world, University of Michigan football. he was literally out there, like, sleeping over recruits' houses. Like, he was on the road putting in work.
Not in a creepy way.
Yeah, no, not in a creepy way. Sorry. I know it sounds bizarre because it is bizarre. Right. He was, like, doing the most. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick. NFL Bill Belichick, at least, how we've known him for the last X amount of years. Stone cold, he'd be like, yeah, you should come here. And they'd be like, why? And he'd be like, because you should. That's it. He did go on Pat McAfee and was saying, like, he kind of gave his recruiting pitch in a sense. And actually, it was much more in depth than I expected, because he was like, I'm essentially going to prepare you for the NFL. I will give you a roadmap of like how it's done in the NFL. I'll get you there. I have the contacts. That's essentially his pitch. And I think, I don't know, maybe he's like turned a new leaf and he's not just like stone cold Bill Belichick anymore, where he's like not emotional, one word answers.
It's probably his 24-year-old girlfriend who's given him some rejuvenation.
To connect with the youth.
True. She's priming him for this new career.
Maybe she's behind the whole recruiting pitch.
Perhaps.
It's not actually the greatest NFL coach of all time. It's actually just a 24-year-old.
Sometimes all it takes is a 20-something-year-old girl. You heard it here first. Signed.
The more you know.
Two 20-something-year-old girls.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about those 20-something-year-old girls.
We conclude Tuesday Morning Quarterback with a story about my boy, none other than Lions head coach Dan Campbell. So as you already
know. Oh,
your
good friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dan. I'm just going to start calling him Dan, actually. As you already know, we're big fans of Dan on Well Played. It turns out there are plenty other Dan Campbell diehard fans out there looking to emulate his winning ways, too.
The Lions had Sunday off following their Thursday night football win over the Packers. So Detroit sports bars needed, obviously, a creative way to get people in the door. What better way to do it than a Dan Campbell lookalike contest?
Dude, it's so genius.
Hilarious. Yeah. I love the lookalike contest. I'm so here for it.
I know. Yeah. I want to, at the end of this, talk about who we could be lookalikes for. Okay. But anyway, 22 people showed up in hopes of winning just free French fries for an entire year.
That's it.
Enough to get me in the door, honestly. I love a good fry with some ranch. I know, unconventional condiment choice, whatever. And a game ball from the Hopcat Brew Pub in Detroit. So all they had to do was offer up their best Dan Campbell impression. And so when asked about it, Campbell had this to say.
I don't know why you'd waste your time with that. You know, there's got to be better things to do than... unless the prize is something worth having. I don't know. Is there a legitimate prize to it? Maybe I'll get in it.
Maybe you should enter, sir. I don't know. I think you'd win. This was just days after Campbell took one of the biggest gambles of the season, going for it on fourth down late in the game against the Packers before they ended up kicking a game-winning field goal. On the play, it was actually kind of crazy. Jared Goff, their quarterback, like fell down while he handed the ball off. It was nuts. But they ended up winning.
Nevertheless, he persisted.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, do you think people would be as excited about Campbell if, sorry, Dan.
Your good friend.
Yes, if they fail on that play.
I think that's just kind of the style of football that Mr. Campbell, or a.k.a. Dan.
Girl, you can call him Dan. This is a safe space.
I think that's just the style of football that Dan Campbell plays, and I think that he could do no wrong in Detroit Lions fans' eyes because he has really turned the program around. Mm-hmm. So,
normally I'd ask you for your impersonation of Dan Campbell because I feel like he has a very easily repeatable.
He's like a gruff kind of
impression, but I'm going to skip that for this week because I made you sing last week. That said, I have a pitch for you for a lookalike contest. It's extremely niche.
Okay.
I've told you this before.
You have?
You would win an Allison Stoner lookalike contest. I don't think most of our listeners know who the hell that is.
I'm going to look in the camera and we're going to put Allison Stoner somewhere. There. We're going to put Allison Stoner somewhere next to my face. Wait, Allison Stoner, she was a Disney Channel star.
Hell yeah, she was. She rocked it on Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. She's a great dancer.
Oh, she was the tomboy.
She was a tomboy.
I did always connect with her.
Yeah, that's like personality, looks. She also was in Camp Rock. Do you know that sound? It's like, she's like playing the keys iconic. All fucking weird. And it's obviously fake. And then Demi Lovato goes, she's really good.
Yeah. I
That's
know
her.
Exactly.
That's her.
Okay. I've never gotten Allison Stoner before.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Everyone I have talked to about you, I'm like, she looks like Allison Stoner. And then everyone agrees with me.
Really?
Yes.
Do you talk about me a lot?
No. Love. What the hell? You need to bring this to your group chats.
Okay.
Immediately.
You know, so I've gotten Vampire Diaries, like Nina Dobrev. I've gotten that, which is like way too kind.
No, I can see that.
Scott has told me before that, you know, Shameless, Emmy Rawson, I think her name
is. Rawson, yes.
Yeah, he's like, you are a very like tan version of Emmy Rawson.
I could see that, but her hair is a lot curlier than yours.
My hair is naturally curly.
Right.
I will never let you see it. I will never let you see it. But yeah, I've never gotten Allison Stoner. The more you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe I should enter. All right, we're closing out the episode with a round of Send It. As always, Send It features four of our favorite viral moments from the week that you should be sending to your group chat. Blake, as always, you go first, my dear.
Okay, I want to start with a video from none other than the Lions games we were just talking about, because it's officially Christmas time, and that can only mean one thing. The Grinch. He's back and better than ever. This time, though, he has some new moves, which I'd never had seen coming. So did you see the clip of the Grinch dancing with the Lions cheerleaders? Every post I've seen of the viral clip includes some version of the caption, "The Grinch stole Christmas," and the show. I was in awe. The way he was throwing it back.
Yeah.
Swinging those hips.
Okay. Very reminiscent of the BYU, like their cougar mascot, who also can show up and show out. Like, when a mascot can really just whip out some dance moves,
listen,
it's beyond impressive.
I'm waiting for the NFL net mascots that we listed last week. Start throwing ass.
You're so right. But also, I think the mascot outfit has to be very mobile, you know?
Well, the Grinch is lucky because it's like body con. You know what I mean? It's pretty tight to his body. He's got a little fur, but you know.
Anyways, insane.
I was impressed. I loved it. Breaking it down. Yeah. He's your guy.
I absolutely loved it.
I will say, though, the crowd did not pass the vibe check.
Why?
They were not howling the way I would have been howling for
you wouldn't have been howling. You would have been barking.
Right.
We all know.
I mean, they're from the same animal. Yes. But he literally, he ate and left no crumbs. I don't know.
Yeah.
I said, he was throwing that shit back.
Whatever the Grinch was doing, we need to see more of it. We need to see more of it. Okay. Next up on Send It. We need to give it up for our patron saint of Send It, our Selly King, Cameron frickin' Bynum. I can't get over this guy. He's incredible. So he and fellow Viking safety Josh Metellus put on a show with their post-interception celebration featuring, after the turnover, they took off for the end zone to put on a perfect rendition of, wait for it, the dance from White Chicks.
Oh my God, like in the circle scene where they're doing the dance circle at the club. Yes,
and I'm not kidding, it was, you see the videos of it stacked on top, move for move, the exact same, the exact rhythm, the exact cadence, incredible. I think after the game, he said it only took them like one 30-minute practice.
I don't believe this.
Which is insane because he literally flips the other guy. Insane.
That's what I mean. Okay, so really quick. I got slight PTSD reading that because I was like, I have auditioned many a times for dance companies as I was a competitive dancer.
The lore.
So you have to memorize an entire combination. They give you about maybe less than 30 minutes sometimes. And then, of course, you fuck it up every time because you have no time at all to memorize it. Put it on top of that. He had to memorize this with a partner.
Yeah.
You never, when you're auditioning for a dance company, you never have to do it with somebody else.
Also, I'm sorry. He has a full-time job.
Yeah. I was the world is watching. He knows that this is going to go viral. If he botches it, he's going to get clowned.
No, he takes his celebrations very seriously. Yeah. But I do think that we're forgetting that he has to get said interception to make it happen.
You're so right.
So he's also playing out of his freaking mind. I think he has three interceptions on the season right now. Pro Bowl voting is happening at the moment. If there was a Pro Bowl vote for best interception celebration, he would have my vote immediately. Get that man to the Pro Bowl for his celebrations alone.
He has provided us so much material. Thank you, patron saint of Selly dances, is that what we call it?
Send It. Patron saint of Send It.
Thank you, patron saint of Send It.
Oh, Selly dances
Sir
too.
Cameron Bynum.
Sir Cameron Bynum. We appreciate your service.
Absolutely. So my turn to nominate another Send It. We got to talk about the epic trolling from Boise State against University of Nevada Las Vegas quarterback this weekend. So before the game, UNLV QB Haj Malik Williams, he made the mistake of giving the Broncos premium bulletin board material, or should I say jumbotron material? Mm-hmm. Because he told reporters he didn't even know where Boise, Idaho was on a map.
Do I?
No. I was going to say, I can't say.
But do you admit it? Also, no.
Not on live television.
I'm glad I put that onto a podcast. So that's good.
You're going to get clowned next, Caroline. Just watch
you
out.
You betcha.
Because Boise got the last laugh. Because every time Williams was sacked during this game, I guess the technical crew running the jumbotron
iconic
would take an Google Earth, mm-hmm. I should say, view and put the exact coordinates of where he got sacked every single time.
Yeah.
They're so fast.
Yeah.
It was remarkable.
Yeah.
And Boise State went on to win 21-7. So how much do we love it? Are you here for this kind of clowning?
Iconic trolling.
Petty. Like, I love it.
Yeah, you love the pettiness. I love like the good hearted, like you kind of.
Right. It was clever.
You made your bed, now you got to lie in
it.
Yeah,
it was
know?
So clever.
It was very, very well done. Mm-hmm. I appreciated it. Okay, last send it for the day. The Vancouver Canucks understood the assignment.
Mm.
And maybe it wasn't them specifically, maybe it was their social media managers, but nevertheless, they understood. They paid tribute to Taylor Swift on Monday since the Eras Tour concluded in Vancouver. They, you know, to tribute, every one of their social posts of the night featured a different Taylor lyric. Karma is the guy named Keith, Quinn's Fishbowl era, and so on. I don't know about you, but I'm freaking here for it. I appreciate it. Like, you can only sneak it in one more time because the Eras Tour is on its way out.
Right. I think that what makes us a great duo is that you love Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And I don't really care about Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
We just lost a lot of listeners there.
Yeah, it's just like.
And I'll take that L.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. Like I said, I wish she would go back to her country roots. That's what I want. Country.
Hey.
But I think it was clever, and I can appreciate.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Okay, so who wins for your send it of the week?
I got to go patron saint of send it.
As you should. Yeah. I'm so proud of you because that was mine too. Yeah, Cameron Bynum, you not only have our hearts, you have our vote. So
there you go.
You won send it this week.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could like give you a patron saint medal. He's earned
it. Who knows? Maybe we will.
Ooh, read the tea leaves. Mm-hmm. What does she mean? Okay.
Anyways,
that's it for this episode of Well Played, presented by The Skim. Thank you, as always, for putting up with us and listening.
For real, even through my controversial Taylor take.
Yeah, can't stand you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one more time for the people in the back. Where can they follow you?
BLAAA4KZE.
Love it. You can follow me at CG Hendy.
And be sure to leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. Please do. And check out the Well Played YouTube channel where we have full-length episodes every week, including mm-hmm. this one. Just search Well Played by This Game on YouTube.
Until next time, thank you for listening to Well Played,
the only podcast in the league of its own.